improve your health in addition to providing comfort. And all across the St. Louis area, Scott Lee Heating Company is trusted with both. With over 40 years of experience with residential and commercial heating, cooling, and healthy air systems, including maintenance, repair, and replacement, they have St. Louis covered and comfortable. Contact them today to learn about cost-saving rebates at scottleeheating.com. Scott Lee Heating Company, where satisfied customers are their most important asset.
590 The Fan and TMA are happy to announce registration for our Lemmings Open Golf Tournament on Friday, October 23rd, presented by Michelob Ultra, GFI Digital, Dense Express, and STL Digital Media. Foursome tickets will be $600, covering golf and cart for four players, lunch and booze. The tournament will get started with a 10:30 shotgun start. Get your tickets now. This is a first-come, first-served event. Go to eventbrite.com and search Lemmings Open to sign up today, or click the link to register on the 590thefan.com homepage.
Brookdale Farms is open for all of your favorite fall activities. Get into the season with hay rides, corn mazes, and so much more. Just a short drive west of St. Louis, Brookdale Farms has something for the whole family. The petting zoo, playground, and inflatables are perfect for the kids, and you can knock out all of your fall needs with pumpkins, gourds, and more at the Pumpkin Patch. They're open Wednesday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., with pumpkin sales open on Monday and Tuesday. Check out all of their seasonal activities at brookdalefarmsinc.com.
The Village Bar is open Monday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. for curbside pickup, and the dining room is now open. Get a couple burgers for yourself, or their quart-sized chili is perfect to feed the entire family. Located at 12247 Manchester Road in De Pere. To order, call 314-821-4532.
We are all more aware of what's in the air around us, and Hoff Heating and AC can provide peace of mind with their professionally installed air scrubbers. They are proven to destroy up to 99% of all surface contaminants in your home. The air scrubber greatly reduces dust while killing mold, germs, bacteria, and viruses. Learn more about air scrubbers and all their other services at HoffHeating.com and contact them today at 636-240-4633. That's 636-240-HOFF. Making your family's comfort our family's business.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave, because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
They say, trust the process. But if enjoyment isn't part of that process, don't trust the process. Michelob Ultra, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Don't mess with big box stores or unreliable delivery from out of state when it comes to the PPE that you need. Instead, work with Marco Bertarelli of family-owned local staple Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply. Masks, hand sanitizer, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Bertarelli has it all. They even cut plexiglass to your exact needs so your business can get back to serving the community. Contact Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply today by emailing Marco at BertarelliCo.com or calling 314-664-4
Brookdale Farms is open for all of your favorite fall activities. Get into the season with hay rides, corn mazes, and so much more. Just a short drive west of St. Louis, Brookdale Farms has something for the whole family. The petting zoo, playground, and inflatables are perfect for the kids, and you can knock out all of your fall needs with pumpkins, gourds, and more at the Pumpkin Patch. They're open Wednesday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., with pumpkin sales open on Monday and Tuesday. Check out all of their seasonal activities at brookdalefarmsinc.com.
Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. They are proud to announce their 2020 Train Special, the same system they're installing in my home. This state-of-the-art system includes a 16 SEER rated air conditioner and a variable speed furnace to remove humidity, balance out temperature differences, and make your home more comfortable. Available with financing terms you can't beat. For more information, contact the official HVAC company of the morning after, Design Air Heating and Cooling, at designair.net.
Fitness will always be about keeping a routine. And the best routines in life will always make time for enjoying yourself. Michelob Ultra, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain. But I'm not afraid. This rover. Be rich as Rockefeller, gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
My favorite song, China Grove.
Can't get enough of
man,
it, can
I can't
you?
Stand that song.
Every once in a while, Limey just comes in and says, I'm going to mess with Frank.
I know.
Not every day, but
That'll do it.
Oh, man.
It is. What did everybody's car external temperature readout say?
Mine said 89.
Mine said 91.
Wow, mine said 87.
Wow. I think depending on where you were, it was 90 in some places today.
Mine said 632.
No, that's a
but
clock.
But it's broken.
Well, it's right twice a day.
Yeah.
I love that expression. A broken watch is right twice a day. So, good afternoon and welcome. Once again, we're going to try to kill time till 6 o'clock, and then we can get out of here and wonder what we're going to do tomorrow till 6 o'clock. You can help us with that. And the way you can help us is just call us. And we'll kick around just about anything you want to. A big debate tonight, Camel Toe Harris and Mike Pence.
Frank.
What? Is that her name?
Kamala.
Oh,
come on,
I had it wrong.
Man.
Okay, I had it wrong. That's tonight.
I snorted.
Dang.
I snorted, man. Oh, my God.
So well, at least this one. Who's the moderator of this one?
I have no idea.
Because they're going to have an easy time compared
like
to Chris.
There's like three people.
I think it's
Flo
from Progressive. The moderator.
I don't even know.
State Farm.
I'll watch it. I'll watch it.
And the Limu Emu will put social distancing in play.
You know, that could be the top of my list of stupid commercials, is that Limu Emu. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It's not even funny or clever or anything. It's just somebody, what a stretch. We need a character. Limu, Liberty Mutual, Limu. Ooh, get an emu. And we get, stupid. So we're glad you're with us on this, the 7th. Of October, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
I have something that I would like to, I don't want to say get out of the way. That doesn't sound right, but it's a serious and it's not exactly...
Are you serious?
It's not exactly, I know what people listen to the station for, but I owe this. To this person, because this person is somebody who is a very, very good friend. I'm a person who does not have a lot of good friends. It's my own fault, but it's not really a fault. It's just my choice. I don't get close to too many people, and usually those people have to be the ones to take the initiative to get me to spend some time with them, and then rarely, every once in a while when I do, I realize I'm glad they did, because we become really good friends. I said to a couple of people earlier today, and it's regarding what I'm about to share with you, that I'm pretty sure I have three friends, real friends. It's not anything that has anything to do with work. They're not work associates. They're just friends. Three. That's it. pretty sure that's it. I'm not going to name them because then somebody goes, well, I thought I was your friend. Well, I've had acquaintances. I've had, you know, working relationships with people. But Tom Price is actually a real friend. And he and his wife, Candy, are wonderful people. I don't meet a lot of wonderful people. I meet a lot of people who have an agenda, a lot of people who want to be my buddy because they think there's something to be gained from that, or they want something, or and lots of you have that. And sometimes there people can figure out who those people are, and sometimes you can't. They fool you. They you think they're your friends, but they're not. But Tom, I put Tom Price in the category of a true friend. And I'm real particular. If you're going to make my short list of friends, here are some of the traits you have to possess. You have to be brutally honest. You have to have integrity. You have to have morals. You have to have compassion. And you have to be transparent with your feelings, and no BS, no pretending. That's what it takes for to get my attention. Not how much money you have or how many companies you run, or that doesn't get my attention. Being a really decent human being is what gets my attention. And that's one of the things that I realized Tom Price and his wife were a long time ago. Tom lost his son this morning, Adam. Adam is was 35. I've had two friends now that, ironically, both of these friends had, as I do, two boys and a girl, and each lost one of their sons. And Tom is now one of those people, sadly. And I want Tom and his wife, Candy, to know a couple of things. One, the fact that, Tom, that you called me this morning from your son's place. I mean, almost immediately when you realized he was gone. That says to me that I'm on your short list that's comprised only of really good friends and family members. And that was a very powerful thing when I got your call today and you shared with me that Adam was gone. And the other thing I want to say, not just to Tom Price, but to anybody listening who has a child who struggles with issues, with substance abuse, with self-esteem, with being gay, with whatever, and I'm not going to go into because I don't know all the details. I know that Adam had some issues, substance abuse issues. I know, and he had dealt with them and struggled with them and tried to you know, whip those demons. And I'm not sure what happened when they found him this morning, so I'm not going to speculate about it. We'll find out soon enough. But my point is this. When you have kids, especially when you have, let's say, two or three kids, and for whatever reason, one of them goes astray, or and you can't ever seem to, you know, reel a man or dies or is killed or whatever, it's pretty natural to wonder what you could have done or what you did wrong and what you could have done differently. That I get that. But here's the thing. In the case of the Prices, and some of you know them, most of you don't. All of you who traveled with us over the course of 20 vacations with listeners, you know them because they were on multiple trips with us, and everybody loves Tom and Candy. They do. I've told you before, I'm the guy who, if I don't like somebody, I will probably not say anything. But if I do, I want to say why. And I don't deserve to be really to be somebody's friend because I don't work at it. I am not the guy that calls you, hey, buddy, how's everything going? Let's have lunch. It's not me. I don't do that. I've had guys that I've known for a long time that I guess were sort of friends. I haven't talked to them for a year or two. They have to call me. Not a great trait. It's just me. I'm a very private, personal person. So to get to know me takes some effort. Tom Price took that effort and his wife Candy, and it worked. It paid off, and I'm glad it did. And I'm proud to say that they are very, very close friends. And to Tom and Candy and to anyone else who starts to question whether something terrible happened, whether or not it happened because of the way you raised your kids, let me just tell you something. The answer is probably nothing. There's nothing you could have done. There are people who are born with issues. It's inherent. It's genetic. It's the way they're wired. They are terminally unhappy or drawn to something bad that they know they shouldn't do, and they try to fight it, but they can't. It has nothing to do with the way they're raised. It has to do with something we'll never understand. So Adam's gone at 35. In a better place, and I know that sounds corny, but when you are unhappy, you're fighting demons, and there just seems to be no end to it, no way out. Sometimes maybe this is the way out. And again, I don't know exactly what happened, but it kills me. I've said this many, many times. You have to have kids to understand this. Limey now has a son. If something happened to Theo tomorrow, it would kill you. You would be a broken man. You would.
I know that.
And you would never get over it. When my son had his son, he called me one day, and he was in tears because of a story of a little boy, the same age as his little boy, who had been abducted and killed, or something horrible. And you can't help but think about, what if that had been my son? You know, with Theo, when you see a story like what happened to John Walsh's kid, America's Most Wanted, his son Adam Walsh at five was kidnapped and decapitated, I'd be in a mental institution. So only people with kids can understand what it would be like if something happened, and only people who've had something horrible happen can really understand it. I'm not going to pretend to. I've never been there, thank goodness. But I have a son who has some issues, and I'm not ashamed of him because he has a problem with alcohol. I'm not. I would be ashamed if he didn't try to do something about it. Then I'd be ashamed. I'm actually proud of him. Went to rehab, completed it, went all the way through, has lost weight, he looks great, he's on the right track. I'm proud of that. I'm not embarrassed about that. And I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not any of that. But I truly do believe that the more people who know about it, the more opportunity you have to get help, to get compassion, to get understanding, get support. When you hide it, people can't help you. And that's the way I feel about my own son. So when I got this call today, they have two boys and a girl. I have two boys and a girl. Son named Adam. I have a son named Adam. 5 years difference in their ages. Immediately, I got hit in the stomach because your first thought is, that, what if that happened to me? What if it were me? And I'm not sure that kids ever really understand how crazy you are about them. I don't know if they're really aware of that or not, because you spend a lot of your life telling, don't do this, don't do that, don't stay out late, don't drive too fast. It's like you're always sort of preaching and maybe punishing, and they don't understand that the reason for that is because they are everything to you. That's why you do that. So I don't know what to say to the Prices, the usual. I'm not going to do them. My heart goes out to you. None of that works. They know. They know. But I will say this to them and anybody like them who is a decent, moral, compassionate person. They are people of faith. You did everything right. There's no, I told Tom this morning, I'm a really good, I know anything about sports. I don't know music. I don't know anything. But I'm a real good reader of people. And I have been for a long time. Made a couple of mistakes, misjudged a couple of people over the years, but not many. And I can tell you, as somebody on the outside looking at them, they are really decent, wonderful people. I don't know what I'm like to other people. I don't know how other people see me. I don't lie awake worrying about it. But I would imagine that if I really knew, I might not like it, because they probably see me as something other than just private, a loner, a jerk, too good, better than other people, blah, 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 blah. Truth is, it's just all insecurity. I don't like a bunch of people looking around me, so I don't like to be around a lot of people. Maybe I'm afraid I'll make a mistake or say something. I don't know. It's just some people are partiers. They can't get enough attention. I don't want any. So you need to find a way to, if you can, see the way other people see you. How do other people see you? Because you'll never do it yourself. It's kind of like when you record your voice, and everybody I've ever talked to, the first time they heard their voices, like, do I sound like that? You guys know what I'm talking about. Hey, do I sound like that? Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. You don't hear yourself through your skull the way other people hear what comes out of your mouth. So, yeah, you do sound like that. You have to take it from me. And you also can't see yourself the way other people see you. Do you come off as a smart ass? Do you come off as too good, better than they are? Do you come off as a jerk? Do you come off? So I will tell you, as somebody on the outside looking in, here's what people see about Tom and Candy Price, two wonderful people who don't deserve this. But we're never, ever going to figure out why anything that happens that's bad happens. And the people it happens to rarely deserve it. It's just life. And it's not fair. When people say life is not fair, no, it's not. It's just not. And I don't know that it's really fair, completely fair to anybody. And whoever out there you know that you think has it made, well, they got it made. No, they don't. You don't know the whole story. So my deepest sympathies to the Prices and to TJ and to Shannon, Adam's brother and sister. It's just going to take an awful lot of time. And with all the time in the world and all the time you have left, it's a wound that will never completely heal. It just won't.
Was he the oldest?
I think he was the second. I don't know. He's 35, and I don't know the ages of the other two kids. I don't know. But Dan knows what I'm talking about. Dan, you know, has had his share of stuff where he had to brace himself for the possibility that with one of his kids, something might happen. And thank goodness it hasn't. So that's it. I feel like I need to let them know that I cannot be the only person looking at this and what has happened to them that doesn't feel like here are two people who probably, as close as you can come to doing everything right, probably did that. What?
I was just going to say something that you said during that intro that was very pertinent to me is that a lot of people probably said, what the hell is he talking about, when you said maybe it's for the better.
Yeah.
I lost a sibling due to an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sister, and she was in her 20s. And I remember, you know, of course you're gonna cry and you're gonna have grief and whatnot. But I remember that the overwhelming sensation that I felt and that I know my siblings felt,
she's at peace,
was relief.
Yeah. Because nobody wants to see somebody live. How old was she?
25.
Yeah, nobody wants to see somebody go another 50 years tormented,
right?
Miserable. It sounds like a ridiculous thing to say, well, she's better off. Yeah, she is. He is. I believe that. I'd rather see any one of my kids drift off, pass away, hopefully peacefully, than live a life of torment and just hell. I would. So there you go. Rest in peace, Adam Price. Sorry to do that. Sorry to. No, I'm really not sorry. Some things just have to be done. So I feel like it's something that I need to do, and I need to let them know, because I am not the best at being that guy, that friend. Love you, buddy. Yeah. They know it. All right. Does anybody have anything to say? We can lighten it up now.
Theo's new favorite thing is to dump out the dog water bowl, so that sucks.
Well, that's what happens when they start walking around.
Well, it's a giant shiny metal one, right? So the second it catches his attention, he's like, oh, shiny. And to him, it's like, you know, basically a little bathtub or a paddling pool. So he just picks it up and dumps it out all over the floor. And next thing you know, I've got 2 gallons of water just, you know, like, you know, going over.
And you should be mad, but you're not.
It's impossible funny to be mad at him, because he's smiling and he's happy.
Yeah, it's cute.
And I'm trying to tell him no, and he's already in that defiant stage, which just makes me so proud. But, you know, it's just horrible because I'm like, don't do that. And then he does it. I'm like, ah, he stuck it to the man. But I'm the man, so don't do that.
You're going to have to start putting less water in the bowl.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get one of those. Tim, you know what I'm on about. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a jug that you can attach, and then there's a bowl where they feed out of, and it slowly fills up the water. Get one of those, something too heavy for him to pick up.
It sort of doles it out over the course of the day, a little at a time. see, my granddaughter's at the house today. My wife's babysitting, so now she's like, sorry if my daughter's listening, 8 weeks or something. So now it's the point where she's starting to... It seems like she's looking at you. You remember this with Theo, and you go, "Oh no, he smiled," and now he kind of laughed. I don't know if it's laughing or if it's gas. I don't know, but she looks like she's kind of laughing and giggling. It's the best.
It's incredible. Tiny little movements.
So PetSmart sells a replenish device, which is a jug that I don't know if you can mount it into the floor.
Hey, if I can stick like a heavy weight on it.
I don't know if you can screw this down. I'm worried. The images I'm looking at now, I'm worried that your kid would knock this over too.
Oh yeah, dang it!
It sounds like is it like plastic? Destructor.
Well, no, it's a huge water jug with a bowl extension.
Oh, you know, yeah.
I mean, with it full of water, I think it'd be pretty heavy for him to be able to shove it over.
That's what I was thinking.
But once it got down to about a third,
I think it has some sort of a float or something that keeps it from overfilling. In other words, when it gets to a certain level, it puts out more water, and then it stops when the shut off.
I'm going to try a plastic one, and that way if he picks it up and he drops it, it's not going to be the end of the world, you know, as opposed to like a glass one or something like that.
These all look plastic.
He's going to be one in 3 weeks.
Has he said a word yet?
He's kind of saying da-da.
No, he's saying da-da.
He just says da-da-da-da-da constantly.
Yeah, they do blah-da-da-da-da-da.
But he does now...
Then he said,
now,
hey, Dad, make me some pancakes.
He does now shake his head, though, when he understands that gets a reaction. So he'll shake his head. Sometimes it means yes, but most of the time it means no. He hasn't figured out that shaking his head means just no, so he says it for both. But he's pretty much like, you know, I'll hold up a drink.
You know what I think would be fantastic? He's never spoken a real word. And the first thing he says tonight when you get home, he'd go, hey, I heard you on the radio talking about switching to a plastic bowl. He's stored up for a whole sentence. He's been saving words, and then he just throws a complete sentence at you. That would be great. They don't do it that way, though. It's a word at a time. And mom wants it to be mom, and then dad wants it to be dad, and it's probably neither one.
Right.
I told you, my three were Coke, light, and ball.
Right.
It wasn't mom or daddy. It was light. My wife loves Coca-Cola.
Right.
Every kid has a little ball. You pitch it to them, okay, ball, and light, because we flipped on a light. And
just stuck.
Right. So,
what was the word that the kid said in the Ben Stiller Robert De Niro movie where Ben Stiller said a word and the kid kept repeating it?
He said like ho.
He went hush.
And like then Ben Stiller goes, no.
Yeah.
Too late. He already knows the word. Not going to back out now. It's there.
Yeah, you have to be careful what you say in front of Theo because he will pick that up.
Oh, I know.
I know.
He's like a little sponge.
We don't curse at my house, okay? Just don't. My late father-in-law, on the other hand, had a couple of favorite words. When my second son was, I don't know, 7, 6, whatever, they were in a traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually when my father-in-law would let something go.
Oh.
And I'll just say the words. It's not a violation of any FCC rules. In fact, it's become acceptable. And they're in a light. And my father-in-law's car never had air conditioning. His windows are down. And so this guy, I guess in traffic, did something. And my father-in-law said, you dumb son of a bitch. Like that. and so they get to the next light. And the same guy is next to him. My son leans out the window and goes, hey, dumb son of a bitch. Of course, my father-in-law is like, and I wanted to go, well, you know, he heard it from you. Oh, yeah. They're hilarious. You have to be careful. They are.
When I was four, my parents divorced when I was two, And when I was four, my father picked me up one day to take me over.
I don't mean this to be insensitive, but were you the reason they divorced? Because knowing you, I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe Frank. Maybe you
oh, yeah. man.
Caused. Now I know why you only have three friends.
Yeah. See, I deserved that. I deserved that. I deserved it. No, he's yours. He's your kid. No, he's your kid.
He took me over to his side of the family's house, his mother's house, my grandma, for a holiday event. And one of my uncles told a really dirty joke. And it's actually a joke
and your home?
That you've told on the air before, but you tell it a different way. And it was in my grandmother's house over in Belleville, Illinois.
Okay.
And so my dad had custody of me on the weekends. And so,
and how old were you?
I was about four or five.
Okay.
I was speaking. Okay. But one of my uncles told a really... It's a dirty joke. You actually... Actually, it's not that dirty of a joke because you tell it with the same punchline, but you say it in a different way. It's the joke about Jose in Mexico is walking down and his friends see him and say, Jose, what you got in your hand? He goes, I got a horse fly. I'm gonna go to the top of the mountain. I'm gonna trade it for a horse. Oh, Jose, you're so stupid. And you know, 2 hours later, Jose comes down riding a horse. And the next day, Jose comes walking by. Jose, what you got in your hands? He goes, I got a butterfly. I'm gonna go up and get me some butter. Oh, Jose, he's so stupid. And Jose goes to the top of the mountain. On his horse, he comes down with two big casks of butter. I know you're gonna mow my lawn on the punchline.
No, I'm not. Because my verse is different, but I know the joke.
On the third day, Jose comes riding by on his horse, and he said, he's got his hands cut. He said, Jose, what you got in your hands? He goes, I got me a pussy willow. Hold on, we're getting our horses. You know, and that joke was told when I was about 4 years old.
And no, that's not for a 4 year old, you don't want to go to the door on Halloween and tell it.
It's got the P word in it, and it insinuates, obviously, you know, something sexual.
Right.
So I don't say a word the entire ride back from Belleville to my grandparents' house where my dad was dropping me off. And he comes, and I walk in the door with Dad, and he wants to say hi to everybody. He's a nice guy. Everybody, you know, they all got along. And I said, hey, you want to hear a joke I heard today? And I start telling this joke, and my dad said he just stood there frozen because he didn't want to stop me because he wanted to see the reaction on my Bible-thumping grandparent's face.
No. And you couldn't possibly have even known why it was funny.
And he said I told the joke verbatim. As well as it was told over at the party, and I was like 5 years old, and I had no idea why it was funny.
Yeah, you couldn't have known, but you just saw people laugh at it. So you go, oh, it must be funny. I'll tell it.
And the reason I bring that up is, you know, I sort of embarrassed him, but he actually got a big kick out of it. I was wondering, did your kids ever do anything to embarrass you? Did they ever say anything or do anything that?
Are you kidding? Of course.
Well, like what? Those are the best stories ever.
Oh, you have one with Austin.
I thought I just told this.
You did with the
friend,
football, the guy,
the what
about cutting, burning the CDs with David Freeze?
No, the guy that had the bad acne on his face.
A very good friend of mine, years and years ago, he died at 58. Unfortunately, he had severely scarred. You know those guys that have the pock marks where it's just craters in their face. He comes to the house. The only time he ever came to the house that I remember to deliver something, and. It's always the second son. Austin comes to the door, and there the guy stands. Austin looked at me and goes, what happened to your face? And I just wanted to disappear. And then Tom, my buddy, said, I said, oh, man, Tom, I'm saying. He goes, nope. He said, Austin, I'll tell you what happened. When I was a kid, he said, I had some severe acne.
My face caught fire. Somebody put it out with an ice.
I want a bobbin for French fries contest.
It almost looked like it. But dude, he said I had a really bad acne. And that's a skin condition, and it scarred my face. And of course, Austin, and walked away.
I never heard you tell that story.
Well, the other, same kid, Lamp and Lantern Shopping Center, Clayton and Woods Mill, we're in a store. I don't know what we're looking for, and the guy who comes out to wait on us has those leg braces. His legs are perfectly stiff. So he's kind of dragging himself in, like, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And Austin, first thing, what happened to your legs? And the guy, I just said, man, I'm sorry. And he goes, no. He says, okay. He said, I'll tell you what happened. And he said, maybe this will keep you off motorcycles. And he told about a horrible motorcycle wreck he was in, where it shoved his head down his spine and crushed. I mean, and when he's finished, Austin says, my dad has a motorcycle. And he says, well, you need to tell your dad. In fact, I'll tell him right now. He's standing right in front of me. He said, be careful, because that's what happened to me, and that's why I'm on these crutches. Now, he always blurted out, what's wrong with your face? What's wrong with your legs? What happened to you? That's a great thing about kids.
I had a friend of mine, and this was a long time ago, And she was at the grocery store. And you know how a lot of times at the grocery store, they'll have stuffed animals, but they had them up on the, what is it, the frozen section. You know how they'd have them lined up those frozen?
I do remember that.
Yeah. And her daughter looks up and says, "Look at the pig in the dress." And there actually was a pig with a dress on, but there was also
a woman nearby,
a fat lady right there with a dress on.
Yeah, this is what Tim, you'll experience it with Theo,
right.
You will, and it makes life just so much more fun, even though it's embarrassing. We're in Walmart years right. ago, and same kid, Austin. He asked me for a quarter to put in one of those plastic egg machines with a rubber spider in it.
Yeah, get a little toy out of something.
Yeah, it's just a cheap piece of crap plastic egg, and it's always like a spider, a rubber
right.
spider. And he says, "Can I have some quarters?" I said, "No, it's junk. I'm not giving you quarters for that." Well, we realized that he's not with us. He's gotten away from us in Walmart. Now, he was about 7, so we didn't panic. It's not like an infant had been abducted,
right.
but we didn't like it. So we were looking around, and before we could find him, the manager walks up with him holding his hand, and she said, "Is this your son?" And I wanted to go, "No, I've never seen that kid." I said, "Yes, is everything okay?" I said, "Well, thank you." I said, "We got away from us there." And she goes, "Well, I need to tell you, we do not allow panhandling." And he had gone through the store begging for quarters.
Oh,
No. And she said, your son is going around to customers asking for money. And he said, "Quarters." And then he looked at her and he said, "Because my dad wouldn't give me any quarters." So I said, "Okay." I said, "Thank you. Thank you for bringing him to us. I appreciate it. I'm sorry."
Right.
And I said, "Austin," I said, "how much money did you get from people?" Well, he reaches his pocket and he pulls out like 15 quarters. I mean, he had a pretty good chunk of money. And here's what I said to him. I said, "Now, I said, listen to me very carefully. Don't ever do this again. If you do this again, you ask for $5. I said, "You don't ask for a quarter. Apparently, you're pretty good at this. Go for $5 from everybody."
And just hold up a sign, "Will not buy drugs or won't buy crack."
And it has to be that piece of cardboard, like they all have the same.
Oh, yeah.
They go to the same stand-on-the-corner cardboard store.
Yeah,
they all get
it's the same piece of cardboard, it looks like.
It is.
Oh, yeah. He's embarrassed us. I don't, you know what, girls are different. I don't think our daughter.
My little sister embarrassed my mom once when we were at Shopping Saver. I remember that. It was the greatest thing. So do you remember back in the day when Shopping Saver did like DVD and movie rentals and stuff like that?
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. A long time ago. So we were walking out of that section.
Didn't all the grocery stores?
Yeah, they did.
I don't know if all
I
of them.
Yeah, they did.
I'm
all
sure you
all
did,
of them.
But Shopping Saver did for definite. And we walk it out of there, and this woman who was pretty hefty walks in front of us, and my little sister just looks at my mom and goes, "Mom, that woman's ass is ginormous."
Whoa.
And I don't know where she learned the word ass. It was probably from me. She was
ginormous.
About 7 or 8 at the time, and I just started laughing, and my mom just turned red. What are you going to do?
It's funny.
Greatest thing.
Right, well, I was wrong. Girls do.
My little sister was fantastic at that.
And then I don't think my other son. It's always that one. It was always the same one. But it doesn't mean, you know, they're bad. They're just kids. They're being kids.
They don't know any better. I'm trying to think of times that I've embarrassed my dad, and I'm sure that there are thousands of times that I've embarrassed my dad. But I was the kid, so I don't know.
But kids will ask anything because they're just curious. It's like what
Tim was talking about telling a joke at 4. Do you know that I don't ever remember telling a joke ever as a kid? I don't remember ever telling anybody a joke. High school is the first memory I have of trying to tell a joke. Yeah. So a 4-year-old, good for you. That's not easy. 4-year-old pull off a joke like
when
that.
When I was cleaning out my house and going through every box and every file and just everything. I mean, it took me months to do this. You know, the whole process of moving out and cleaning out your house and preparing a house for sale. My mother tells a story to try and embarrass me all the time. She does it a lot, actually. But one of her favorites is when I was 5 and I went to Beerbaum Elementary School, and they had AM and they had PM kindergarten. And
well, hold on. You went to AM and the PM kindergarten?
They had AM
that explains
and
it all.
PM kindergarten.
Wow. It's fate.
Right?
at Beer Bomb.
Meant to be. I went to the PM.
Not Beer Bong, Beer Bomb.
Beer Bomb.
Beer Bomb. Yeah.
Beer Bomb. It's still school, South County. And my kindergarten teacher was very elderly. She had to be in her, at least, well, I don't know how old she was. She was
back
very
then,
elderly.
She was probably in her 30s.
Well, she retired that year after I was there. So my mom loves to tell the story of my first day of kindergarten. I come home and they're like, Timmy, how was your first day? Oh, it was great. I had so much fun. I made friends. We played kickball. And I'm just telling this whole story about how much I love school. My first day of school that night, her name was Mrs. Ayers. That night, my mom says she got a phone call and she talked with a southern accent, Mrs. Ayers. I remember. And my mom said hello. And she said, Mrs. Woodburn. Her name wasn't Woodburn, but she went ahead and said that. She said, Mrs. Woodburn, this is Mrs. Ayers, Tim's kindergarten teacher. Ma'am, I just want to let you know, in my 45 years of teaching, I have never met a child as obnoxious as your son, Tim.
Wow.
And told her on the first day. After the first day, that's, you know, so she gets my version of how the day went, and then she gets the teacher's version of how the day went.
You didn't waste any time.
I kid you not. When I was cleaning out my house 2 months ago, in fact, I mean, I think I know where it is. I'm going to bring it to the family camping event this weekend. I found my end of year report card from Mrs. Ayers
in my
belongings. And on the back of it, it says, I just want to let you know what a joy it was to teach your son this year. And it was
because, you turned it around.
Well, either that or, you know, my mom is exaggerating what she said, but maybe a little bit of both. You know, I can kind of come across the wrong way, and until you get to know me, then people, you know.
Yeah. Or she was happy that you were leaving her.
There's a surprise.
She was probably just happy you're moving on to first grade.
Yeah. Okay. But I found that, and I'm going to display that as my rebuttal 45 years later, that I really wasn't that bad of a kid.
Mm. All right. I have to do this now. I can't help myself because this is maybe is my favorite teacher story. I took typing my junior year, and there were only two guys in the typing class. Do you know why we took typing? It was all girls. It was like the secretaries learned to type. So it was all girls. But this other guy, I said, let's sign up for typing. All the chicks are going to be there. So we did. Two guys in the whole class. Now, the girls, this is going to sound sexist, and it probably is. Girls are just naturally better at some things. They could just type like crazy. It was a struggle for me. So, and I was there to goof off and show off and try to get girls' attention more than I was there to learn to type. So I wish I could remember this woman's name. Her first name was Alice. At the end of the year, the junior year, the last day of school, remember the teachers, at least when I was in school, they had a book, and it had checks and grids, and they would have a row of names, and then across from it, it would be first quarter grade, second quarter grade, test grade, and then at the end of the year, your final grade.
Right.
Passing, and barely passing, is a 65. Mm-hmm. The last day of school, when everybody files out, she asks if she can see me. She can I see you just a second before you leave?
That's always a good sign.
She said, close the door. Now, she wasn't hot or anything. I wish she had been. In fact, she was ugly. She closed the door. And she says, you and I are going to have a secret. And I'm still thinking, oh, boy, sex. This is sex.
Hey.
Here it is.
I'm a junior in high school.
Goodbye, Cherry.
And she said, this is going to stay between us. And she opens her grade book. She said, here's your name. And across from it, she said, here is your grade for this year, 64. See, but here's what we're going to do. And she took an eraser, and she made it 65.
Wow.
She said, you passed. That'll be our secret. And I said, thank you. And she said, oh, no, don't thank me. She said, I did this for me. And I'll tell you why I did it. She said, because if I fail you, I will have you again next year. And she said, the thought of that, just the thought of it, I can't even say. So you passed. Have a good summer.
Wow.
And I will never forget that. She cheated on my grade just to get rid of me.
That's awesome.
Hey, silver lining.
I think that was fantastic.
The teacher cheated.
Yeah. That was great.
You must have been quite the disruption.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was. I would make fun of the tests, and they were timed with a stopwatch, those typing tests. And I don't remember exactly what I did, but just goofy, stupid stuff to distract people. And she didn't like it. It was serious business. Hey, these girls' futures were at stake as executive secretaries or whatever. Mm-hmm. I do a little bit of business, the business of Bertarelli. At least once when I talk about it, I have to give it the Italian accent thing. Bertarelli, this is a family business on the hill. The late, great Steve Mazzarini used to say, on the hill, because didn't he, Danny had a store on the hill, I believe.
Next to the Bevo Mill.
Joe Farrett and the
Bevo Mill's next door to us.
Boys. So they are on the hill on Marconi. Here's what you need to know. At that store on Marconi, it's a retail store, but it's also where they do all of their, not just retail sales, but their sharpening of knives and other, you know, kitchen utensils for 1,300 restaurants and kitchens. And they sharpen an average of 2,500 knives every day. So that's the cutlery side of Bertarelli. Now, of course, there's a retail store, and you can buy a new set of knives if you don't have a decent set, or take yours in and have them sharpened. Now, there's the PPE side of the business. Different, but not completely different. You know, well, why would somebody get in PPE if they're in the cutlery business? One has nothing to do with the other. No, not true. Think about it. People who work in kitchens, prepare food, work in a butcher shop, they have to wear, certainly, gloves, and in some cases, masks or plastic shields. So they got into that to be of more service to the restaurant, the kitchen business. And then gloves turned into mask gloves and shields and on and on and on. And then along comes COVID-19. So they're prepared and ready to go. They just had to beef up the inventory in the warehouse. And they're able to supply, they're able to fill orders that other places in the country can't even come close to filling. Somebody wants 2 million gloves. I've seen these orders for 1 million, 2 million, 3 million gloves done, filled, out the door, got what they need, and they still have more. So they have a warehouse bursting at the seams with PPE stuff. And you know what that stuff is. Hand sanitizer, mask, gloves, plexiglass, shields, plastic, the whole, all of it. Isolation gowns. If you remember 3 or 4 weeks ago, they filled an order for 105,000 isolation gowns from one customer. You say, I don't need all that. I just need a little box of masks. Okay. They'll give you a box of masks or sell you a mask or two or three or the big orders and everything in between. They are Bertarelli on the hill, 314-323-0712. Or BertarelliCo.com. Don't worry about not being able to spell it. You can go to Facebook.com/AM and the PM, or you can go to FrankOpinion.com, and there are links that will take you right to their website. I'm going to give you a couple of phone numbers. You will need them because Dr. Doug Pernikoff is here. I'm looking at him right now in his white baseball cap. He loves coming in early. He loves being in here on Wednesday. We like to have him. And if you have a pet, even though he is retired, he is your pet's best friend and still the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. So please, please feel free to call and hit him with it. He'll be able to help you at no charge. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Did anybody else have anything for the Burke segment? We still have another minute. No? Sure.
No.
Sure.
No,
going once, twice, three times. Gone. Closed. Our segment is officially closed. John Mellencamp. I got some extra information. Tim kind of got me interested in Van Halen. I don't know much about the band, but I did a little reading this morning. I found out a couple interesting things. We'll get to those a little bit later. Pretty impressive stuff about Van Halen. John Mellencamp. I know one song, and it's Hurt,
really?
So, Hurt So Good.
Isn't Jack that? And Diane?
Okay, know. Two songs. Jack and Diane, Hurt So Good. I love Hurt So Good. Mm-hmm. He's 69 years old today.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. Hang on. I don't know why you always do that. What is it about 69? Why is that funny?
He also did a version of Wild Nights, the Van Morrison version.
Oh, right? I know the Van Morrison version. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
and Simon Cowell, 61. Remember when we all thought 60s was death,
yes.
Decrepit?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Simon Cowell, 61. Looks to be in pretty good shape to me. And here's Mellencamp, 69. Anymore. Look at the Stones. Look at, unfortunately, Eddie Van Halen died at 65. But there was a time when that was near death if you were 60 or 65. So coming up after we check in with, I understand it's not so slim, Jim Not So Slim Sappho Johnny Londoff. We'll talk with him, and then we'll bring in Dr. Doug. Please feel free to call with your pet questions. It is, thanks for being with us today. 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. The White House physician is reporting almost nothing but good news when it comes to President Trump's health. Dr. Sean Conley says Trump's vital signs remain stable and in a normal range today. He adds Trump has been fever-free for more than 4 days and free of COVID-19 symptoms for more than 24 hours.